We are back on WWNC, the Talk of the Mountains. Thanks for joining us this morning on Investor IQ. My name is Glenn Wessel. I've been grilling Jennifer Moore about the details of getting divorced and property settlements and so on. I probably ought to mention that Jennifer is board certified as a specialist in family law. Jennifer, what does board certified really mean? What kind of hurdles do you have to jump over?
Well, you have to be practicing pretty much exclusively in the area of family law for a certain period of time. You have to take a lot of hours of continuing legal education.
In that one area?
Correct, okay. In the family law area. Mm-hmm. You submit an application to the state bar. There is a peer review process that you have to go through. And then finally, you take an exam.
I see. So how long do you need to practice or specialize in that area typically?
I think it was 5 years.
5 years, okay.
It could have been 10, but I'm pretty sure it was 5.
If you have any questions for Jennifer, give her a call at 258-8053. Before the break, we were talking about debt and the fact that it's kind of a noose sometimes to people when they split because they, in my opinion, don't really have a clear understanding very often of what the obligations are when they sign a credit card agreement or a promissory note that's attached to a mortgage. The concept of joint or several liability, please explain what that means.
Well, essentially what that means is once you are obligated on a debt with your spouse, then regardless of whether or not you're separated or even divorced, until that creditor releases you from that obligation, you still have just as much liability as the other partner does.
So the question would be, why would a creditor ever release anyone?
Correct. And really, it doesn't happen very often. The only area that you will see it is if one spouse keeps the marital home and they take over the mortgage, if they refinance, they can refinance that in their separate name.
Mm-hmm.
But until they do that, you are still obligated.
Or possibly get the loan modified, pay a modification fee, and qualify yourself.
Correct.
Which is the key thing. You have to qualify without the other party.
Exactly.
Excuse me. So that is not doable, I would imagine, for a lot of couples. And you end up with one spouse missing payments and the other spouse maybe not being aware of it. Because if, help me out here, if it's not stipulated in the property agreement as to the paying spouse actually paying the mortgage directly, then that spouse really doesn't know whether or not, although I suppose that spouse could call the bank directly, right? How does that?
Well, that's what I tell people, that they will need to contact the bank directly in order to be absolutely certain. Because sometimes, even if they're a secondary signee, they might not necessarily know for a few months until they suddenly get a letter telling them that they're in foreclosure. So they need to stay on top of that, and they need to be aware of it.
So what if the receiving spouse of alimony or child support or whatever is supposed to be paying that mortgage, but that spouse doesn't pay the mortgage and instead uses the money for other things? Is there any repercussion, other than having a bad credit score, is there any repercussion or remedy to the paying spouse to have more discipline?
It depends. If they have formulated a court order or a separation agreement, then they can sue to enforce that. If it's a separation agreement, they can sue to enforce the separation agreement. If it's a court order, they can sue to have the other party held in contempt of court.
Right.
And so then the court can step in and try to enforce the other party to make those payments.
Okay. I want to ask another question about alimony. Should have asked it before. The presumption in the state of North Carolina, if I'm correct, is that you start with kind of a 50-50 split. That's the way the courts would start the process. Is that right?
You're talking about distribution of property?
Yes, property.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Yes. It is presumptively considered to be a 50-50 split.
Regardless of, who worked harder or who did, came into the marriage with more assets. Well, actually, if they came in with more assets, then that's excluded, right?
Right.
Okay, so 50-50 of the marital assets.
Correct.
What would overcome that? What would have to happen before the judge or the court would start to go, to deviate from that?
They will sometimes. It's fairly unusual, but sometimes they will. There are certain factors that a court can consider. They are all economic factors, and that's an important distinction. marital fault does not play into property distribution at all. So they will look at the economics of the situation.
So it plays into alimony.
Yes.
But not property.
Correct.
Okay.
Mm-hmm, not property distribution. They will look at various things such as the earning potential of the spouses, the contributions that the spouses have made mm-hmm. to the marriage. Mm-hmm. For instance, if one spouse is contributing a lot of their separate property and the other spouse isn't, mm-hmm. they might be entitled to more. The tax ramifications of the settlement might be considered.
Right.
Does one spouse need a larger amount of assets to offset taxes?
I see. Right.
Things like that.
At what point would someone come into an attorney's office when they're first contemplating, you know, when they're having those first dark thoughts of separating, or after, you know, they've hashed it out a while, or what?
You see it always.
What do you think's best?
I prefer when people come in early,
early
in the process.
What does it allow you to do?
It allows me to counsel them about what's going to happen immediately when they separate, to give them some advice about things they need to be thinking about, things they need to prepare, conversations they need to have with their spouse, mm-hmm. just ways to protect themselves.
I see. We don't have a heck of a lot of time left, but I wanted to get you to talk about child custody a little bit. How is that typically settled? Can you settle that separately or privately, or does it have to go through the courts?
No, it can be settled privately. However, the court never loses jurisdiction of children. So if you make a private agreement, regardless, if you make a private agreement or if you have a court order, those are subject to change under certain conditions.
I see. What if one spouse takes a child to another state?
That's not proper, basically. If they do it, it depends, again, on the situation. If there's a court order in place that specifies that they can take the child to another state, then that's fine. I would generally tell people, if there is no court order and you're newly separated, don't remove the children to another state. That could cause a lot of problems.
We've just got about 30 seconds left here before we have to wind things up. But can you hit briefly on the topic of joint custody versus sole custody? Is there really a distinction, or does it not matter?
Ultimately, it doesn't matter. Typically, joint custody, there are distinctions. You could be talking about joint legal custody, which means equal access to medical records, school records, that sort of thing. Then there's joint physical custody, which is an actual 50-50 sharing schedule,
right,
which is what the courts in Buncombe County favor presently.
Okay. We've been meeting with attorney Jennifer Moore this morning. She's from the Moore Law Office. You can contact her at 258-8053. She's on the corner, I believe, of College Street and Charlotte. College Street, Charlotte Avenue?
College, Charlotte, near the traffic circle.
Been going there for 8 years and I can't remember the streets. Anyway, that's all the time we have. I hope you join us next week here on Investor IQ.